Let me get you, take your Bibles, if you will, and open up with me to Revelation chapter 20. We're going to go to several scriptures this morning, but I won't have you turn to those. We're going to have you keep your Bible in 20. The others I've got put up on the screen here. Well, this is it. This is week 7 of 7. So after this week, you don't have to listen to me. Amen? And but we're this morning, we're going to be talking about the millennium and the eternal state. Before I do that, I was going to do this at the end, but I talked to Brother Andrew about that. If anybody is interested, there are some great books on what we've gone over. And I talked with Brother Andrew about this. I told you Revelation and Daniel go hand in hand, and Clarence Larkin's books are really good. He's got one on Revelation, and he's got one on the book of Daniel. So if you're interested in anything we went over, I highly recommend these two books, as well as, now those are kind of like the Cliff Notes compared to Dwight Pentecost, but Dwight Pentecost has a book out, Things to Come. I just don't recommend that you read it, and it suggests to your pastor that you can do a six-week lesson on these 600 pages because it doesn't work out too well. But if you want a doctorate degree in eschatology, this is the book, and there are some things, and it's good because Clarence Larkin and Dwight Pentecost don't agree on everything, so you get to use your own thinking on how you want to assess things. But the major doctrines, they are both correct in. But there are, you know, but they're both great books, and this one is really, really good. But it does go deep. So this morning I want to talk to you about the millennial and eternal state. But before I do that, I want to back up a little bit and go to after the rapture of the church, we go into what's called the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll be judged. And then after that, we have what's called the marriage of the Lamb. And I found that a little intriguing because here on the earth, when we think about a marriage, who's the center of attention in a marriage? It's the bride. Here, that won't be the case. It's the marriage of the Lamb. It's the groom. It's Jesus Christ. And we're focusing in on Jesus Christ, and it won't be so much with the weddings here, it's a consummation of the bride and her hopes in the marriage. Here, it will be the consummation of Jesus Christ and his joy that he has as being a man. And this would not be possible had Jesus Christ not ever come to earth and lived as a man. Amen? And so that's what we're looking at. And we're looking at one of the longest betrothals in history, amen? Because normally man and woman get betrothed and they have a period of engagement. Well, this is going to be the longest betrothal somebody stayed faithful for, you know, and looking forward to the wedding ever happened. And that's been over almost 2,000 years, amen? So pretty long betrothal we're looking at there. Then after the wedding, what happens after a wedding? Well, we have a honeymoon. Now for us, I mean, a honeymoon, you used to think about going to some exotic place or going on a cruise or, you know, for most of us in Alabama, we think about going to L.A., you know, lower Alabama. But here, our honeymoon, a lot of times you go back to where the bride's originally from. So what better honeymoon can you have than the bride going back to her birthplace and coming back to earth? And that's what's going to happen after, on our honeymoon. And I get that trip to Israel I've always wanted, amen? I just wanted to bring you up. That's everything that's happening in heaven after the rapture. I can't use that. But that takes place right up here. So then that brings us after the wedding takes place. We come back with Christ, and we talked about that last week in the Battle of Armageddon, and now we're going to go into the millennium. If I will get you to take your Bibles and look with me in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. We're going to read about 6 verses here. Verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a season. So, Satan's given four names here, and so he's given he's a person. You can't bind a spirit, amen. So we are binding Satan as a person here. And then I want to look with me, if you would, in verses 4-6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. John, you have to understand, John saw the tribulation saints here that had lived and been raised, and he also and had lived and died, and he also saw the church age saints. You understand, he's ahead of time here. So that first resurrection, he's looking at the church as we got resurrected up as the first fruits of that gleaning, and then he's looking at the tribulation saints that get taken up after the tribulation. We're the harvest, we're the first fruits came up in the rapture, and then Israel, you'll have those coming up at the end of the tribulation, and that's kind of like the gleanings. But that's all the first resurrection, and that's what that's referring to here. And then verse 5 says, the rest of the dead. You've got two resurrections of the dead here at the end of the tribulation period. You have the righteous dead, those that did not take the mark of the beast, and they will be risen up to be with God. Then you have the resurrection of the dead of the unrighteous, and that will take place 1,000 years later at the end of the millennium right here at the Great White. Right here you have Christ coming, and when he comes back, those that came through the tribulation, the righteous, will be raised up to meet Christ. The other dead will be raised up here at the Great White Throne of Judgment. Is that clear as mud? Two resurrections of the dead. You got the righteous and you've got the unrighteous. So, at the end of the tribulation, like I say, only the righteous will be resurrected. Those that go here and those that do, the other dead, the unrighteous dead, when they get risen up here at the Great White Throne judgment, those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says, will be thrown into a lake of fire. That's their second death. The millennium. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 says that he'll reign 1,000 years, and we call that the millennial, and I know y'all have heard this before. Millennium's not in the Bible, but it's just a Latin word. Milli means 1,000. Annum means a year, so it means 1,000 years. So when we say the millennium, we're referring to 1,000 years. We're not changing the Bible. The character of the millennium, Satan will be bound. He will not have any influence. So everybody's excuses during the millennium that does something wrong, they can't say the devil made me do it, amen. Or they can't say, well, Brother Jim, I know I did that, but you just don't know my wife. She's just full of the devil. Amen. That won't fly in the millennium. Amen. So this is going to be under the most favorable circumstances right here. No evil influence. Amen. Satan will be removed. The land will be revived. It will go back as the time it was back in Joshua when the land was flowing with milk and honey. You're also going to have the animal kingdom that's going to be restored. You're going to have the lion laying down with the lamb. Then you're going to have life will be prolonged. So you're going to go back to the way it was in the patriarchal years where those that died at 100, the Bible says, will be just as a child. We're going to live a long time in the millennium, or those that come out of the tribulation live for a long time in the millennium. After the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed again. He'll deceive the nations, and he'll come against Jesus Christ again in the last war to ever take place on this earth. All right, now I'm going to turn to some more scriptures if I can figure out how to do it. There we go. Okay, we find the millennial dispensation ending like all other dispensations before that and ending in failure. Now, I'm just doing this as a prelude to what Brother Andrew is going to be teaching here on dispensations, and it's a good study. He's going to get in a lot more detail. I'm not here to teach dispensations, and he's going to expound on it some. But I'm just wanting to bring out to show you how the millennial ends. It ends like every other time period before it. It ends in apostasy. You've got the age of innocence where Adam and Eve were. It ended in man being expelled from the garden. You've got the dispensation of consciousness. It ended in a flood. You got the dispensation of government. It ended in Babel. You got the dispensation of promise. Ended in bondage. You got the dispensation of law. Ended in bondage. You got the dispensation of grace that we're living in now. Ends in apostasy. And then in the millennium, you're going to have under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it's going to end in a lake of fire. So every time period here, I'm just going over the basics, it ends in men's apostasy. They all failed, amen? After 1,000 years in the presence of the king, man persists. Even after being with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, there are still going to be those that are going to meet up with the devil when he comes back, meet up with him to go against Christ again. That just amazes me, but I'm seeing more and more in these days that we live in how that's possible. 20 years ago, it was hard to fathom, but now I see the way things are changing. So let me go back. Let me go back here to the chart, just for funsies. So what's happening with Satan here? Satan, as a final act, he'll be seized and hurled into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium there. He's going to be there. The beast and the false prophet are already waiting on him, and the devil and his angels. And understand, they will not be annihilated. There's no such thing as annihilation. If God wanted to annihilate them, he could have sent fire down from heaven and annihilated them. This lake of fire is not an annihilation. It's a form of punishment. The lake of fire was built for the devil and his angels. Amen. But it will be a form of punishment that keeps going. And all those that are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. Satan does not want people to read the book of Revelation. Why do we get a promise for reading this book than any other? Satan doesn't want you reading Revelation because it shows his doom, it shows his end, and it shows his end, his reign will end. Amen? And so he doesn't want that. Only the bodies of those who perish in that last great war will be destroyed by fire. At the millennium, when they come up, they'll be destroyed by fire. But their souls will go to the lake of fire. Their souls and spirits will go to hell in that compartment under the underworld. And then they'll come out and resurrected at the great white throne of judgment. Okay, so there's going to be a war, understand, right here. And their souls will go to hell. At the great white throne judgment right here, that's where all your dead go. That's going to be all your unrighteous. That's going to be all your unrighteous dead from way back over here. All the unrighteous dead. Why? All the righteous dead at the rapture of the church was raised up, amen? And who else was raised with it? The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the righteous. We were raised up. Here at the second revelation right here, those that come through the tribulation, the righteous, they will go up to meet Christ before he comes down. That's the first resurrection. But the dead, they're still in the grave. And you have to understand, let me just real quickly, and I know y'all know this, we're made in three parts just like the Lord. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Now, our body will go to the grave when it goes. Lost or saved, our body's going to the grave. Our soul, lost or saved, will go either to heaven or hell when we die. And our spirit, lost or saved, both go back to God for judgment. So you've got your body, you've got your soul, and you've got your spirit. So over here, at the end of the millennium, they will be destroyed by fire, but that's only their bodies. Their souls go to hell. Okay. Until he has that great white throne judgment. I hope I didn't confuse anybody with that, because it can be a little confusing, and I'm trying to go through a lot of material. Any questions on any of that? Okay, the great white throne judgment. This is not a general judgment that takes place here, understand. There's a false teaching out there. There's a general judgment, great white throne, and that's not the case. Understand that as a church, we have already been judged over here. When we go up at the rapture of the church, we will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ right here. Okay? That takes place. Israel, they will not be there. They've already been judged. They got judged down here at the during the tribulation period. So church will not be judged to be at this judgment. Israel will not be at this judgment. This judgment, and it will not be the judgment of nations. Now, understand, the judgment of nations, when Christ comes back at the second advent, on earth, he will have the judgment of nations to decide on who of those gets going to the millennial and who doesn't. And that judgment will be taking place on earth. It will take place with people who are alive, and again, it'll take place on earth. This judgment up here at the great white throne of judgment, it's the judgment of the dead. It will not be any live people. It will be dead people. It'll take place in heaven. It will not take place on earth. And it involves a book. The judgment of the nations does not involve a book. Amen. So that's what's taking place there. Death and hell will be cast in. And we understand death is the grave. The grave holds the body. Hell is that compartment that holds the soul that's in the underworld. And that's what you're looking at there. That's that compartment in the underworld, or some people refer to it as Hades. The resurrection of the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire. Death and sin will be cast into it. Why is that important? Because once that happens, once this takes place, then you're looking at a new heaven and a new earth. So all the sin and all the death will be gone. Amen. It's dissolved. So you'll have no death and sin on the new earth. With that, this will be a judgment right here. When we're talking about the great white throne judgment, we're talking about judgment of the unrighteous. That is, all the unrighteous will be right there, and they're not getting judged on whether they get eternal life and get to go into heaven or not. They're getting judged on the degree of the punishment they're going to get. There are different places of hell. There are different levels of that. That's what they're getting judged on. But their destiny is fixed. They will get thrown into the lake of fire. Now, there's a few exceptions to that, because when we go into this millennial reign right here, all those that didn't take the mark, they're not necessarily righteous and serving God, but they either stood up for Israel, they did not take the mark, and they came through. Those few people right there that come through the millennial, and there's going to be babies born during the millennium. We're living 1,000 years. So those that are born, they will have to go up here. So there's going to be a few righteous people, but basically the great white throne is for all the unrighteous dead that go up. Is that? I hope I didn't confuse anybody with that. So that's what you've got going there at the great white throne. The wicked or ungodly, again, they will not be judged on their destination. You know, it's kind of like the thing said, you've heard the old saying, it's kind of like the Trinity of Life, as I call it. If you're born once, you'll die twice. Born twice, you die once. Amen? It's best to be born again. Amen? Y'all doing good. It's 10:11. Y'all are listening good. Amen? So, right here on the great white throne of judgment, while this is taking place, what's happening down here on earth? Well, during the earth, when the flood happened and the fountains of the deep opened up and the world got, everything changed, climatic changes and everything happened during the flood. There was a lot that went on. It devastated the atmosphere, and some of its life-sustaining properties. So what you had during the flood, after the flood, people went from living 900 years down to 100 years, and then that went on down to like 70 years. And so all that was taking place there. Now when Christ returns at the second advent on earth, the Bible says that the mountains are going to split. There's going to be the Dead Sea will be raised. You're going to have all these climatic changes when Christ comes back at the second time, and things are going to be reversed and go back to the way they were back at the Garden of Eden. So you're going to have life-sustaining properties restored. Life will be prolonged, and men will live as long as they did back in the patriarchal days. So during the millennial, that's what we've got to look forward to. Now you've got the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 20, verse 11. Look at that with me, if you will. And the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." John describes a great white throne coming down. Now look with me in 21:1. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Now, what we're looking at here is heaven and earth passing away. John doesn't describe how it happens, but Peter does. If y'all will, you don't have to turn there for the sake of time, but 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Now, you have to go. John was taken up in the Spirit. When we're looking at what John read, he was in the Spirit reading. This is Peter writing. Peter's here on earth, and that's important to keep in mind, his mindset. He's on earth. Verse 7 says, "But the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." That's the great white throne judgment right there that he's speaking of. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise." Hang on to that thought. "And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." In verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwellers righteousness." A surface reading of this, it looks like that the earth is just going to be burnt up, amen, and done away with. But that's not the case when you get into it. It just looks like the earth, all the surrounding heavens will be burnt up, but it says that it will pass away. Pass away is not an annihilation of something. It's not a total destruction of something. When something passes away, it passes from one state to another. Okay? And what I'm telling you is that the earth will be renovated by fire. That's what it looks like. This change will take care of the exterior surface of the earth where it will be burned up, and all that sin is brought into it. Existence such as your thistles and thorns and your diseases, your germs, your insects and pests. Brother Carl, you'll have to find you another job. And all your chemtrails and all Monsanto's sprayings and stuff like that, all that's going to be burnt up, amen. Everything that man has done to destroy this earth will be burnt up. And the Bible says, and it's going to be purified of all the evil spirits that are here, and it's going to be purified of all the destructive agents here. Now, the exterior surface that will melt with fervent heat, that's the exterior surface, all those gases and everything are going to explode, and are going to explode the heavens also here. Those gases will, and the Bible says in verse 10, you say, where do you get that? It looks like it says it right there in verse 10 where it says heavens to pass away with a great noise. Man, when all this stuff gets to heating up, those gases going expanding, there's going to be a big explosion, amen? So it means it's going to pass from one existence to another. Now look with me, if you will, in Ecclesiastes. Where do you say, well, Jim, where do you get that? And looking at these verses, it looks like that's the way it happens. Ecclesiastes 1:4, the Bible says, one generation passes away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth for a little bit, for a short while. It abideth forever. Amen. I'm just going by what the Bible says here. And then the Bible also says the meek shall inherit the earth. The Bible says that Israel will dwell in it forever. Well, how long's forever? The Bible says Israel will dwell on this earth forever. Amen. So it looks like this earth is going to be here forever. It's just going to be a renovated earth. Philippians 2:9-11, wherefore God also hath mighty exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Look, this describes all your celestial, your terrestrial, your infernal kingdoms. Everything is subject to the Son of Man. Amen. Now, it looks like what we're going to have after the renovation of fire is a perfect kingdom. This millennial kingdom, and it can't be the millennial kingdom because that millennial kingdom was burned up. Amen. It ended in apostasy and rebellion. So it can't be a millennial. It's got to be the new earth. Now, after the renovation of fire and the kingdom, new heaven and new earth comes down, you have a dispensation, what's called the fullness of times. And that's what you're seeing here. I think you're seeing here in Ephesians 1:10. Now, that's what it looks like. It says that in this dispensation, the fullness of times, he might gather into, did I read that? The fullness of times, he's going to gather of all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Okay, this is a full time. All these other dispensations and time periods were part time. They all ended, amen? This time will not end, amen? This is you're talking about a new heaven and a new earth. It will not end. There will be no more sin. There will be no more evil, amen? Satan is expelled from this earth. He's imprisoned in the lake of fire, not to be loosed, amen? We're going to live there forever. Amen. There's going to be no more sickness. There's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more sorrow. The Bible says he will wipe away all tears. Amen. No more deaths, no more storms, none of that. Amen. That's what we're going to be looking at in the new heaven and new earth. Okay. So we have a new heaven and a new earth coming down. Now we're going to look at in Revelation 21, verse 9 and 10. Now some of this is foreign to y'all and you haven't heard that before. Don't cut me off from the rest of it. Amen? Amen? That's just the way I'm just showing you some of the verses. It looks like it goes together, but don't cut me off. Amen? Revelation 21, 9 and 10. The Bible says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, a lot of people want to say, that right now Israel was God's wife, and we were the bride. And a lot of people want to say that this verse is referring to Israel because it says the wife. But you have to understand, John's looking after we've already been to the marriage, amen? And so now we are the bride of Christ. And so just want to make that, straighten that out a little bit. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven of God. The new home, the new Jerusalem, that city that comes down, looks like that will be the city where we will live. We will live in that city. That's the bride, the Bible says. The bride of Christ. That's where we'll be. And so we're looking at a new heaven, a new earth, then we're looking at a new city in that in there. The description is very grand. You can go and read all that. It's amazing. You look at all the gates and what all they're made out of, the streets, how they're made. It's a beautiful place that we're going to be living in, but that's the city. Now, our abode on earth, we see that this present earth will have to be renovated by fire, and the Bible says there will be no more sea, and the Bible gives a description of that as being 12,000 furlongs in area. So what this new city is, it's going to be 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide. It's going to be a square, 1,500 miles. Now, just to give you an idea of how that is on earth, and I don't know where this is going to be sitting, but it looks like it's going to be on earth. 1,500 miles. In other words, it's going to stretch, if you can imagine, from Maine to Florida, and then from the Atlantic coast to 600 miles west of the Mississippi River. That's how big this city is going to be. Now, it says it's going to be as tall as it is, it's going to be as tall as it is wide and long. So not only is it going to be 1,500 miles long and wide, it's going to be 1,500 miles tall. Now, I don't know how that 1,500 miles tall is. I've gotten with other people, and if you think of 1,500 miles high, you know, I thought, well, maybe it's going to have a bunch of different floors in it. Amen? Yeah, I don't know. You're going to have your Methodists and your Lutherans on the bottom floor, and maybe your Southern Baptist in the middle, and, of course, us Independent Baptists, we're going to be in a penthouse. I don't know. Amen? And I don't even know that it's going to be that way. I don't even know that it's going to have floors. It could be, some people think, that just because it's got to be that tall, 15, it will be 1,500, it could be as a pyramid shape. So it could be long and wide, but instead of it going straight up as a cube, it could go up as a pyramid. I don't know. And if that's the case, the only one's going to be on top maybe Dr. McAfee back there and a few others. I don't know. But I don't know how it's going to be, but I know it's going to be grand. Amen. I know I'm going to be there. I've got my reservation. Amen. And I know I'm looking forward to it. The Bible talks about that as being, I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But it talks about the gold. And it says the gold in this, and it's going to be transparent gold. So I don't know how what transparent gold looks like, but it looks like that's what our mansions are going to be made out of right there. Amen. That's the new heavens and the new earth. Amen. And that's the new city. I'm not going to get into any more. There's a lot more I could get into. Again, I appreciate the opportunity. I did try to pack a lot of information in. And I do suggest, though, that if you do get this book and read it, that you don't go to your pastor and say, hey, I can do a six-week series on the end times and try to pack 600 pages into or what, 7 weeks, amen. And two of those weeks, I didn't even use anything out of his book. But I appreciate that. I hope you maybe learned something or got refreshed, Brother Andrew. I'm through. I appreciate y'all's patience. I appreciate y'all being here. Yes, sir. It's more than they know. It's going to get warmer more than they know, Brother Bonds.